This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling man.
Good morning, Melbourne.
Yes.
Something came up on my Facebook feed this morning. You know how you get those?
So do you check your Facebook as soon as you get up?
Not
you?
As soon as I get up, no.
Right. How long do you wait?
When I wait till I'm on the tram.
Okay. All right,
and
so
then I look
minutes.
In, yeah, just
splash a bit of water on your face and then you're
splash
on.
Splash a bit of water and I'm out in my pajamas on the tram onto Facebook. And this memory came up and it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was using Snapchat.
Right, okay.
And she took a photo and it put some ears on us.
Yeah, I love – I got into it for a couple of weeks, but then I got over it, yeah.
Yeah, when she did it, she set up an account for me. And
yes.
I don't think it's there anymore, but she set it up and I tried doing it, but didn't get it.
Really?
And I don't know why.
It's really
If it's an age thing,
yeah.
Or
– well, you are pretty old.
You're not much younger. I don't know what it was. But I was just reading this morning, they're about to revamp the app.
Okay.
Because they want to
target older
people.
Right.
They haven't provided any details on the upcoming changes, but the head of Snapchat says, the one thing that we have heard over the years is Snapchat is difficult to understand or hard to use, and our team has been working on responding to this feedback.
Wow, okay.
And to survive, they need to grow its user base beyond the 13 to 34-year-olds in the US, France, UK and Australia.
Okay, fair
so
enough.
It's not just me that couldn't use it. I mean, I suppose I could use it if I sat
that
down
surprises
and learned.
That me because you're very intelligent and you're good with stuff. Like if I need something fixed, especially with computers or technology, you'd be the first person I'd call.
Yeah, but you have to add people or something to it.
Oh,
and,
right.
And there was no one there, so
okay.
I wasn't going to Snapchat to myself.
Yeah. Well, you can. It's lots of fun.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you haven't used it?
I've used it. Yeah, yeah. I've got an account. But I just
got one?
Yeah, I've got a Snapchat account. I got into it for about 2 weeks and then I got over it. But it's fun because you can be a different character.
Right, okay.
You know, like you can be a bearded lady, you can be an angel, you can be a rabbit, you can do face swaps. It's quite entertaining.
All right.
But I just got over it for
okay,
a while.
Maybe we can start it up, crank it up during a song and see what sort of photos we can take. Anastasia, I think I've got rats.
Rats?
Rats.
Where? In your house?
Not in the house.
Outside?
But they're outside because on my back decking, I noticed there was some little rat poo.
Oh, no.
It's been there for a couple of days. And I keep hosing it off.
Yeah, that's okay.
And it comes back.
Don't hurt them, though.
Well, what do you do? Because it's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? Mm. Because they chew through cables.
Yeah, they do chew through cables.
And plumbing and stuff like that. They can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the health implications are. And I think that the species that says probably a pest species that's been introduced, but they're also little animals.
Yeah, they're adorable too.
And the other thing is, you know, I've got a dog, so I can't put poison down in case somehow, I don't know, one of them eats it, dies, and then he sniffs it. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't
want to
risk. I'm not going to risk that at all.
No.
But what do you do? Like, what's the thing? And those rat traps, they're just. I mean, once they get one.
Well, you just remember, it's an execution, those
well,
rat traps.
Well, exactly.
It's like, you get completely executed, that poor little one. And I've always, even I remember as a child when I'd see them around the house, when mum and dad would set them up, I'd get like anxiety just thinking of that poor little mouse. I'd feel the empathy of going, oh no, your head's going to be chopped off.
Yeah, it's
like it's full on.
It's gruesome.
Yeah, it's terrible. And they're just hungry looking for food like we are.
Yeah, but apparently there's plenty of food. Melbourne's Lord Mayor, Robert Doyle has confirmed on Wednesday there are more rats than usual scurrying through the city streets. So it's not just my imagination.
Yep.
He told radio that rats were being driven above ground by construction of the metro tunnel.
Right, okay.
So but the one thing that I found really strange is he said people are surprised how much wildlife there is living underneath the CBD.
Yeah, right.
So
okay.
Underneath us. And he says there's a sub-fauna existence. And he says there's rats.
Yep.
Okay, we agree. Mice. Foxes.
Wow, so we've got a whole zoo underneath.
So I knew
us.
There were foxes in the air, but I didn't know they were underneath. And listen to this, snakes.
Wow, your biggest fear.
There could be snakes under us.
Wow, that's pretty scary. Not
it is.
For me, I love snakes.
There's a whole zoo underneath. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what's, you know.
What have you done in the past?
I have poisoned before, but that was before I had a puppy dog.
Yeah, okay.
And I must admit, I wasn't comfortable
doing it,
in
yeah.
doing that. Because someone told me it makes their tummy bleed or something.
Oh, of course it does.
Yeah, something
yeah.
horrible
yeah.
happens, I don't know, with their blood coagulation or something. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. But if someone does know...
Yeah, give us a...
What can you do? You know, there's also those things that you plug in that deter them.
That's right, yes.
Ultrasonic sound or yep. something. Whether yep. that works or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you do know...
Anything better than the execution?
Yeah, how can we stop ourselves being executioners? There's outrage in the UK.
Is there?
Complete outrage.
Talk to us about it.
Complete outrage. Tina is her name.
Yes.
She was dining out with three friends at a pub after a night of bowling.
Right.
So they've had a really good night out,
yep.
this group, and this atrocity happened. She and a friend both ordered fish and chips
yep.
from the pub, and it was a 2 for £10 deal.
Yep.
Right? And it came with 5 chips.
Yes.
5 chips. That's it. And it's caused this huge social media outcry across the UK who love their fish and chips, saying there should be more than 5 chips.
So did she get a refund?
She didn't. I don't think she got a refund, but she did. She posted on social media.
Yeah.
And her husband got upset and he said, "My wife isn't the type of person to make a fuss or complain. I immediately said to her that I would have sent that back."
Yeah.
"And I think you've forgotten to put some chips on my plate."
But who does that? 5 chips. 5 chips.
5.
I mean, what was the chef thinking, really, honestly?
5. And the photo, like the photo, has about 50,000 chips on the plate, but she's duped. But it has caused a complete.
Unless she ate them and put some in her bag and said, "Oh, I only got 5 chips." Like,
maybe
how do we know she's
maybe
lying?
She ate them.
She could have been like me. You know what I mean?
That's probably what she did.
Yeah,
she ate them all.
Yeah,
and then she went, "Oh, I've only got five."
Exactly.
Chips.
You know, I once went out with a friend. She's no longer a friend now, right? But this is how dodgy she was. She plucked a hair out of her head, put it in her meal. Halfway through,
what?
She ate it. She had probably about a few bites left and went, "Excuse me, I'd like to return this meal."
Because there was a hair in it.
But it was her hair. She plucked it out of her own head and she said, she thought it was really funny. And I was like, "Oh my God, you are crazy. Why would you do that?"
No.
"Just so you don't have to pay $20 for your meal. I swear to God." And I went, "We are so, so sorry."
Were you there?
I was with her.
Did you say anything?
No, I just was like, "Darling, why did you do that?" She goes, "I don't want to pay." And I'm like, "Oh my God." She goes, "I do this all the time." And I'm like,
"Oh my goodness."
So this woman could have been just like this girl. She could have put eaten half the chips and gone, "I've only got 5 fries.
Maybe she thought she wasn't getting £10 value worth of meal. And so
exactly.
She ate them all. I don't know if I'd put a hair in it deliberately. That's
what
pretty...
would you put in if you
nothing.
Didn't want to pay for it?
Nothing. Maybe a fly.
Hey, Warren, I just can't get over the paper's filled with all these Hollywood accusations that have come out, sexual harassment allegations about Kevin Spacey. And it started off with Harvey Weinstein, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone's being accused. It's like Hollywood is just breaking up.
It's all coming, isn't it? There's a flood of them at the
moment. It's all coming out. And it's kind of exciting and also really devastating to think that that's what Hollywood... I mean, I'm sure it doesn't represent the whole of Hollywood, but I'd say 90% of it.
It's really sad. Do you think it's also representative of once one person speaks
yeah.
out, then other people feel more comfortable
well, yeah,
to speak out?
Well, yeah, you feel validated and you're coming out of the shame because you don't feel ashamed. Because shame is all about keeping it to yourself and it exists that way if you're not telling anybody. But if someone validates you and says, "Hey, I was sexually harassed," then someone else is going to feel more comfortable, aren't they? So everybody's coming out.
And I would imagine in the Hollywood industry too, so the first person to come out is the one that's thinking, "Oh, I'm going to risk my career."
Yes, well, of course.
But when they all start to come out,
how am I going to pay my bills if I say anything, you know?
What are people going to think of me? You know, is it real? And there's all this doubt that comes in.
So, and I guess the sad thing is that these the predators, like Kevin Spacey, who is one of my favourite actors, he's still one of my favourite actors, but what a predator.
Yeah.
And a man of so much power that was able to get away with what he did. And Harvey Weinstein, who pretty much owns Hollywood. I mean, he's a genius. He made some incredible movies. But it's really nice to see all these people coming out. But if only they could have said something a little bit earlier on, like they've gone through so much pain.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what you could kind of do.
Well,
a
Melbourne team may have come up with a solution.
You've always got solutions,
because
Warren.
They're developing a chatbot.
Right, okay.
And it's called Hello Cass.
Yes.
CASS. And it's a chatbot designed to support people affected by family and sexual violence.
Oh,
and it's
great.
Been developed by Melbourne-based social enterprise Good Hood.
Mm.
And they're currently seeking funding for a pilot of the bot early next year. And the founder of Goodhood, Emma Costa, has said part of the appeal of Hello Cass is that users can talk to it via SMS.
Oh, how fantastic.
So you don't need to download an app. You don't need to sign up to anything. So it's not actually an app. It's just an SMS message. And the interaction is completely private. So the system doesn't collect or store any personal data about the user whatsoever.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
And, I mean, another spin-off is it takes the pressure off frontline telephone operators.
Yes, which I've dealt with before, and it's really easy to give up.
Well, she says, Ms. Costa says, currently we can't get enough people on the phone, so the wait times for people calling a crisis line can be up to 20 to 30 minutes.
And there you go. Imagine you're in distress and you're in the middle of something.
And you're waiting 20 to 30 minutes. So this, they're seeking funding at the moment, and you'll be able to just send an SMS, which is really good because if you are in fear of speaking out, you can delete the SMS.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no record on your phone. Yeah.
And if your life's in danger as well, of course.
Yeah, well, I suppose if your life's in danger, you need to call emergency 000. But I think this is a great idea. And
I hope
Hello Cass and Goodhood get the funding to develop it more so that people can just use this.
I think Hollywood needs one, imagine.
Oh, my goodness, the thing, that'd
it's
have
good
a
though, yeah.
20 to 30 minute wait time.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what's really good about the Hollywood thing? It's opened up the conversation now. There's no hiding.
That's true. And now
people
it's snowballing.
People are going to be really careful. It's snowballing, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's resetting the culture, which is great.
Really good to speak out as well. So Hello Bot, so look out for it. She'll be trialling next year.
How did your date go last night?
Oh, do you have
your gym
to ask?
Crush? Well, come on. I mean, we talked about it with our listeners last week, and we did tell him yesterday that you were getting ready to go and see him last night.
Well.
Talk us through it.
Okay,
how was it?
So, look, we went out. We had a lovely meal.
Yes.
We went out. We went to a restaurant nearby, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't like it because it was full of meat. It was a Greek restaurant.
Oh, lovely.
It was really, really good. But he turned up and, you know, I was ready.
Darling, let me correct you. Of course I'd like it. Greek restaurants, you can have vegan options, darling.
Oh, you can too.
Exactly.
I don't know if this one has much though. But
right. Well, there's one in Richmond that does have vegan Greek nights Thursday nights. Actually on Thursday nights. But anyway.
So anyway, I met him there and we had our dinner and look, I don't know. He just wouldn't shut up.
Oh, no.
And he was – but the thing is, not that I wanted to necessarily talk about me, but I wanted some sort of interactive conversation.
Yeah, right.
You know, where there's some interest shown in each other.
But he wasn't interested,
was
he?
No. And you know, he was just talking and talking and talking. And you know,
did he eat?
Yeah, but because he was talking so much, and maybe it was nerves, I don't know, but I know my food was disappearing quickly. And I was looking and I think, oh, my goodness, that means now I'm going to have to sit here.
Oh, no. And watch him eat.
And watch him eat. But one thing that did disturb me was he was talking about his ex.
Oh, God, get rid of him.
And he was telling me how much he's still in love with him.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
What a knob. Get rid of him.
But he wants to date guys to find out if it's real or not.
Oh, God, so you're an experiment.
So an experiment.
You're a social experiment.
So in a social experiment.
Right.
I was an experiment.
You don't look like a mouse to me. Honestly, come on. You are not to see this man again.
Well, I mean, I'm going to see him because he's in the gym all the time.
Yeah, I know, but don't go out with him again.
Anyway, so
talks about their exes on a date?
Well, I think he wanted counselling. I don't know.
Okay.
So, you know, I ended up playing. By the end of the night, I was, playing the...
You kicked into your people-pleasing syndrome?
I kicked into my... Yeah, and I was helping. I thought, okay, this is what this is.
You talked him through.
And I thought, that's okay. And I thought, this is all right. I'm comfortable with this.
Mm.
And then at the end of it, he goes, so can we go back to your place?
God.
And I thought, what, you just, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So
you've told me you're in love with your boyfriend, you need some counselling on it,
yeah.
But you'd like some sex on tap
as
well.
That was basically it.
Which is great.
So thank goodness I had breakfast radio because I said, look, you know what, I've actually got to go to bed early.
Right.
So I can get up in the morning.
Yeah.
But you know what, I was really comfortable with my decision and he's a nice guy, he's obviously in a bad space, which is a shame I can't hold that against him, but I'm not going to be
experiment. Look, you know what, choose the people you're going to be in a bad space with if you want to talk about your exes, but if you're out on a date, you both have a crush on each other, you do not choose the guy that you're interested in, apparently.
Yeah.
To talk about your ex love and then go, hey, let's go home now and make some music.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, buddy.
Like, you know, I don't mind.
How off-putting.
I didn't mind if he'd sort of said, hey, listen, you know.
Or is this just a woman's view? Is this what gay men are like?
No, not all. But
I don't want to generalise here, but God, you guys are all obsessed with sex.
It
really annoys me.
It was all about sex. I mean, I think that was the end game, and this might have been the... I don't know. Look, I don't know. Or maybe he did want someone to talk to about his relationship.
Sounds like he just talks about himself. Did he ask you about you?
But it had only finished...
I bet he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Of course he didn't.
It only finished 2 weeks ago.
Sounds like a narcissist to me, darling.
He might be. So, I don't know, maybe he'll be a good friend.
I don't like him.
I'll see him in the
gym. Don't introduce him to me. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give him some counselling.
Qatar Airways flight from Doha to Bali.
Yes.
A woman accessed her husband's phone.
Right.
So he was asleep and allegedly discovered that the man was cheating on her.
Oh my God.
Reportedly, she used her husband's own fingerprint while he was sleeping.
Oh, my God, that's a scary
thing. So she got his phone, got his finger, unlocked his phone.
Love her.
And then caused a complete outburst when she discovered her husband's infidelity.
Wow, poor darling, I feel for her.
She must have had some sort of suspicion.
You know what I've found in relationships? If you feel that you trust your partner, you don't actually feel like you need to go through stuff, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You're not tempted by it.
I've decided there's a rule, right? Mm. If you have to play detective,
yes,
I'm out of there.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I'm gone.
It's instinctual.
Like, that's it. Yeah,
it's instinctual. Like, trust that.
Once that doubt and that trust is gone,
bang. See you later.
Out of there. But after crew members failed to calm the woman, the plane man made an emergency landing in India, and the entire family, including the husband and the child, were kicked off.
Mm.
And then it resumed its flight to Bali.
Yeah.
So but what a horrible shock. Imagine that. I mean, she shouldn't have been snooping on his phone.
No,
anyway.
I disagree.
You reckon?
No, I've thrown that theory out the window. He was probably cheating on her for years, and you know what? She was probably instinctual and she went, stuff it, I'm going to check it out.
And we don't know the other side to the story.
No, we don't
You're
know
right.
the other
we don't
side.
Know what
but
was,
if he was cheating,
was going on.
Good on her.
But what a horrible...
Good on her.
My heart would just sink if that happened and I was on a plane and I found that out.
It would be absolutely devastating.
Like, you can't exactly slam the door and run out or anything, can you? You're stuck.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm also... I also believe that if I knew a friend's partner was cheating on them, I would tell them.
You would?
Yeah. Whereas, you know, years ago I'd go, no, I don't want to get involved. No. I want to get involved. I will tell you because I love you and you're my friend and I will tell you the truth even if it pains you, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah,
some new rules this year. It's like, no, why not? Why wouldn't you tell someone that you love that their partner is cheating on them?
So this is all about...
I don't want to get involved. Why not?
Being honest.
You love this person, right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell them.
Tell them. So would you tell them to go, look, when your partner's sleeping, grab their finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlock their phone.
Yeah, totally.
And check their messages.
When your partner's asleep, and just pour some water over their head because they're cheating on you.
What's the food that you didn't like as a kid?
Okay, I could not stand eating lentil soup, which we call fucky in Greek.
Right.
Could not. Every time Mum served it, and she'd always serve it, and I hated it. Couldn't eat it. Now I can't get enough of it.
So lentils for you. Lentil soup.
Oh, my God, I love lentils, yes.
So for me it was Brussels sprouts.
Oh, wow, I love Brussels sprouts.
But as a kid I hated them.
Yeah.
I absolutely
hated
them.
How did your mum cook them? A lot of butter?
Butter. Sometimes they were boiled. Sometimes they were roasted. And now I can't get enough.
Yeah, they're
yummy.
I'll
eat them like a packet of chips.
Yeah, they're really yummy.
They're so...
And you love your cheese. You can grate some really nice Parmigiano on it.
I haven't done that.
Oh, darling, it's lovely.
So I just cover them in a bit of olive oil and a little bit of salt and I roast them.
Yeah, well, you know what you can do now? You can actually shave some Parmesan over it. A really good cheese, a hard cheese. Actually, it can be any hard cheese and zest it. Oh, my God, you'll love it.
Now, what about the crossing at the base of the Brussels sprout? Mm. Someone said if you cross them, they're less bitter. Is that true?
I don't know.
I cross them all with a knife.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I do that.
Yeah.
Just because someone told me to.
Yeah.
Well, Professor Russell Keast specialises in sensory and food science at Deakin University School of Exercise and nutrition scientist. And he says genetics can be largely blamed for how we feel about food.
Right.
And in particular, he talks about coriander.
Yes, so many people hate coriander, don't they?
They do. So we have smell receptors in our nose that are responsible for identifying these compounds in the atmosphere, and some of the foods stimulate these receptors. So we think that they're volatile. Now, coriander is one of those that does that. So for me, ages ago, coriander tasted like soap.
Yeah, right.
Tasted like soap.
Okay.
And now I love it.
I love coriander.
And put it on absolutely everything, in omelettes and what have you.
Yes.
But it changed. So these receptors may be able to change over time or learn new smells, according to Mr. Russell Keast.
Oh, well, there you go.
So that's what happened. So, and he says here, he said, if these receptors determine what we taste, then depending on what you've got in your nose, you may experience a soap-like flavour, which is what I used to experience with coriander.
Actually, my boss was cutting up dill last week and she said that exact thing. She said, smell this. And she said, doesn't it smell like soap to you? And I went, no, what are you talking about? She goes, no, I really smell it. Actually, it was either soap or petrol and she was spot on. And it did. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. And dill is my favourite herb.
But it smelled like soap.
Yeah.
So I thought coriander, when I first had it, was I thought I was having dishwashing liquid.
Yeah, right.
That's how soapy it was.
Mm,
and now it tastes completely different. Anastasia, a Russian man,
yes,
has claimed he was born on Mars.
Right.
And he's sticking to his story.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how silly it sounds.
Yep.
His name's Bariska.
Doesn't sound silly to me at all.
He's 21 and he says he lived on Mars before a war broke out and all life on the planet was destroyed.
Right.
And he claims he was reborn.
Maybe you should date this
on
guy.
Earth. His parents believe it and they claim that he was able to speak just months after he was born.
Hold on. If his parents believe it, what, she gave birth to him in Mars?
No. They believe that his previous life was on Mars.
Oh, okay, previous life. Okay,
because only a few months after he was born, he was able to speak.
I wonder what it sounds like.
And he also had a profound knowledge of the cosmos and alien civilizations.
I wonder how he sounded. That's 3 months.
but he apparently, after a few months, he was able to speak. And he's attracted attention from both alien conspiracy theorists for his detailed stories of Mars and medical professionals for his advanced learning abilities.
Go. Maybe it's true. Why should we doubt this?
Well, you know what? This is what the people on Mars are like. They stand over 2 metres tall. Well, what they were like. They stood over 2 metres tall.
Okay, so they're shorter than us.
They stopped ageing at 35.
Right.
And they could breathe carbon dioxide.
Right.
As opposed to oxygen.
Okay.
And he claimed a nuclear war wiped out much of Mars' civilization, and those who survived moved underground, which is why scientists have never discovered evidence of life on the red planet.
Wow. He sounds incredibly creative.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. He sounds adorable.
But if they breathe carbon dioxide, they could come down to Earth. We can give them a new planet because we're...
Absolutely. We breathe that as well, don't we?
That's what we're stuffing up our planet with. So they can all come down here. They can come out of Mars.
Exactly.
Come down here. Maybe
let's unite.
Maybe
we are all one at the end of the day.
Maybe we can swap planets. I was with a friend the other day.
Yes.
We're having a drink together. Now, he's very... He's quite, I don't know...
Rough. A bit of a bogan, is he?
He's a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's but all right
a lovely
to say
guy.
Bogan. Yeah.
Lovely guy. We were just having a chat. And,
does he have a redneck?
doesn't have a redneck.
You know those suntans? You know the bodgy? I used to get them all the time, actually.
Doesn't have any of that. But
guys like that want me. They're really attracted to me for some reason.
You know, he speaks his mind. And,
yes.
You know, he calls me Wazza and he's, hey, you go, mate, and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's describing how he went to a bar.
Mm.
And he said, oh, it was great. You know, it was full of people and all this. And then he goes, the ambiance.
Oh, my
God.
The
voice changed.
That's hysterical.
For that word. So he didn't say he said ambiance, and he said it.
And then he kept talking. Oh, my God.
The way he talked, and it was hysterical.
That is so funny. That reminds me of this guy I was having a coffee with, and he was talking like, you know, being really butch with me, you know what I mean? A bit of a wog, you know, like, you know, tuning into his Vince Colosimo. And then he goes, you know, and I took a chance. And I was like, are you for real? He's like, what do you mean? I said, you just said chance. And then he got really annoyed and then I thought, oh, my God, I was being really rude. What? But he says chance instead of chance.
You know, you walk in, something that you say is whenever
Dalek! Do you know what happens? I don't know what happens. As soon as I get out of that elevator and I walk in, I tune into Meryl Streep or some narcissistic housewife, a really rich narcissistic housewife, middle housewife. And as soon as I see you, I say, darling, how are you?
Because I'm
it's
sitting
the only
there,
time my voice changes.
I'm just sitting there
then
doing,
back to being
doing all the work, getting
chick.
Everything ready. Where's my coffee? But there are words, aren't there, that some people, you know, like castle. Or France or,
yeah.
You know, reservoir.
Actually,
or reservoir.
Oh my God, I used to live in New Zealand for about a year. I wonder what I pick. They say chance and sex sucks.
Yeah, that's more the accent.
And I've
though,
always found
it?
That really sexy. So if I ever meet a New Zealander again and they say sucks, I'm just like, okay, yours or mine? And they're only saying six, you know. know what I mean?
So let us know. What words
do you have one?
Do people get confused?
Or you're just perfect.
No, I'm perfect. Perfect. I find I interchange.
Right.
Sometimes. I don't know if it depends on the person that I'm with. Mm. And
actually, I don't think you do. I've never heard you do it. I've only heard your voice go a little bit high.
Because I it's all about, I don't know, for me communication's all about, you know, you sort of connect with the person and you...
And you start imitating. And
you imitate, but you talk their lingo.
Yes.
And you talk their language. So I reckon...
Does your voice change when you're talking to somebody though? Like if they're really pretentious like me?
Sometimes.
Do you like, hi, how are you? Like I did with that friend of mine. Remember we were sitting at a bar like a few weeks ago and my voice changed and I was talking like
that.
Remember? I was like, hi, how are you?
Got a couple of messages in.
Yeah, we got a message in on 0427JOY949 from Jason. He says, I think you can always tell if someone is being toffee, especially with the pronouncement of chance. If they say chance, ask them to sing Take a Chance on Me by ABBA and watch their brain explode. Thanks for that, Jason. We have another one in from Andy. He says, I had a workmate of Italian heritage but spoke totally Aussie, except when he ordered coffees. He would go into a perfect Italian accent to pronounce things like cappuccino and cavolatte. There's my Italian accent. Another one here, I, Anastasia and Warren. It's funny how people with a real Aussie accent changes when they say Brighton.
Oh,
really,
yes.
Really posh-like. They do. Tracy, Brighton. I always say Brighton and Sandringham. And another one here from Simo. He says, I can't stand the current trend to say literally instead of literally.
Literally.
Yeah, I can't even say it, Simo. That's how much I don't like it.
Back in the early 90s, I rolled up at the Laird Hotel on my motorbike.
Did you have a bike?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
As a very nervous gay man, and I wasn't sure what sort of reception to expect from a hotel where I thought every man is going to be wearing leather. So I wore my bike leathers because I thought I'll fit in. Mm. And we all want to fit in, don't we?
Yes, of course.
So I went in, it was packed, and I found it difficult to start up a conversation. It was very intimidating, you know, what it's like the first time you go to a gay venue. There was another motorbike rider there. His name was Jack Sayer. And Jack was so smiley and friendly. And we struck up a conversation without any sexual advances. It was just friendly. It was non-threatening conversation. And he made me feel welcome on my first visit to that hotel. And over the years, I continued to run into Jack. And each time he greeted me with the biggest smile and hug. And it didn't matter how long it had been between seeing him, he always gave me the same friendly hug. It always made me feel really welcome. And a few weeks ago, I saw Jack with his partner, Peter, who's one of our most devoted listeners at Northside Bazaar. And they both looked so happy together. And they were. And we spoke about Jack's love for his miniature schnauzers, Coco and Bella. The next day, Peter messaged me and said that Jack was on life support and it was very sudden and unexpected. And unfortunately, Jack lost his battle earlier this week and Peter lost his partner. And over the past week, I've spoken to a few people and I've read social media posts and the common message is that Jack was one of the first people I met at the Laird. So many people have said that. And he was also so friendly and welcoming. And I realised I wasn't the only one who Jack embraced. There are hundreds of all different backgrounds and ages who he was friendly to. And I thought, what an amazing legacy to leave for our community in Melbourne. And he taught us to welcome people, whoever they are, into our community. It doesn't matter. So Jack's funeral is in Geelong today. And Peter, it's really sad. We know you're listening and you're on your way to say your final farewell to the man you love. And both Anastasia and I can't begin to imagine how you're feeling. And our thoughts are with you and Jack's family.
Warren, have you done much travelling in your life?
Yeah, I have done a bit in my life.
What did you find the most welcoming city of any of the cities that you have been to?
I would have to say, I reckon Amsterdam.
Right.
Yeah, every time I've been there, I've been so welcomed by the locals.
That's really interesting because I was supposed to stay there for 3 days in Amsterdam, right? I ended up staying there for 3 months.
Oh, really?
And have a guess why. We'll talk about that later. But I couldn't leave the place. I absolutely loved it. It was my favourite city.
It's
not for the obvious reasons. But, hey, what I did want to say is there was a study from Travelbird. It analysed the 500...
Travelbird.
From Travelbird. It analysed the 500 biggest tourist destinations on the planet. And according to World Tourism Organisation, taking into account factors that can make a visitor feel welcome, such as welcoming port of entry, the happiness of residents, safety and security, openness to host tourists, and English English language proficiency, which I don't have. Guess which city it was?
What?
It certainly wasn't Melbourne.
No.
It wasn't Sydney either.
What was it?
It was Singapore.
Oh, Singapore.
Singapore was the most welcoming city.
And Singapore is a very welcoming city too.
It is. I've never been.
Yeah, very welcoming.
The highest ranked Australian city featured in the list was Sydney, sandwiched in between Jakarta and Taipei at number 55. Sydney featured below Los Angeles and above Paris.
Oh, wow.
And that's notorious for not being welcoming at all. So there you go.
I took my mother to Singapore for her 70th birthday because she wanted to have high tea at Raffles.
Oh, how cute.
And it was a lovely experience.
Yeah.
And I would agree. I think Singapore's a very, very friendly city.
Yeah. Do you know what was really weird for me? When I was living in Amsterdam, and that was so welcoming, and then I went to Berlin. I caught the train to Berlin and that was really welcoming. And then I went straight to Athens. So I was used to all these, you know, beautiful, lovely people. And then I get to Athens and I'm on the bus and I've got a backpack, right? And they're going off at me, right? Like they're shoving and pushing me out of the way.
Why?
Get out of the way, Ingrid, study out, and going off. Because that's how they speak. We speak with our hands. We get a little bit aggressive if you know, piss us off. I mean, it took me about a few days to adjust that they weren't telling me off. It's just the way they speak.
So it's quite animated.
It's very animated.
Is it the same with Greek families here as well?
Oh, very much so. I mean, I remember walking in, I think in Greece, though, they're a lot ruder. Like I walked into a shop and, like, you know, sometimes you, like, you look at things and you pick them up to see if they look nice or whatever.
Yeah.
I picked up a pair of thongs once and the woman went up to me. She goes, are you going to buy them? And I'm like, I'm thinking about it. She goes, are you going to buy them or not? They're what asses or not? And I'm like, no. She goes, get out. Just because I touched them and I went, oh, my God, this is comedy. So it doesn't surprise me that Greece wasn't ranked number one.
Number one. I'm surprised about Sydney, though.
Yeah, beating Melbourne.
Yeah, I am surprised.
I'm very surprised.
Putting aside all the rivalry that happens between the two cities, maybe we are biased, but I find Melbourne much friendlier.
No, we're not biased. I don't think so at all. I've always said, you know, Sydney is the taller, prettier sister, but Melbourne is the one that you marry. You have sex with Sydney and you marry Melbourne, and I think people are so much more friendlier in Melbourne.
So congratulations to Singapore.
Yes, congratulations. Let's go.
That's it for us.
Yes.
Have a great weekend and we'll see you on Monday.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.